This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
With the second pick in the 2021 NBA Draft, the Houston Rockets select Jalen Green.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep getting better every day. I'm going to keep perfecting my craft. And every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, the best and only daily podcast covering your Houston Rockets. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and partner at Apollo Media. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as at Apollo HOU. We've got a lot of topics to dive into today, and joining us to do that is the voice, the new full-time TV play-by-play voice for your Houston Rockets, one Craig Ackerman. How's it going, Craig?
How you doing, Jackson? I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, Craig, I'm so excited to always be able to talk Rockets basketball with you. And I got to say right off the bat, congratulations on getting the full-time play-by-play gig. I could not have imagined another person doing it. I mean, it was something that I think a lot of Rockets fans expected, but I think I can speak for all Rockets fans when we are excited to have you be doing both, you know, the road and the home games now on the TV broadcast.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, this is something that I consider the pinnacle. I still remember the very first day that I walked into the summit in 1994 to come in for my interview for an internship. I still remember that day, and to think that I've grown from that point to where I am now, it's pretty special. It's awesome. Obviously, a fan of this team growing up, listening to Gene and Jim on the radio, and then watching Bill and Calvin all those years on TV, then to have an opportunity again to get an internship with the organization. My first year as an intern, they won that second title in 1995. That was an amazing experience. And then to eventually be hired full time and then work as a radio producer and then move into a broadcaster with, you know, we had the Arena Football League team, the Comets and the WNBA. And then, you know, starting with the studio gig broadcasting wise with the Rockets in 2003 and then having an opportunity to then follow Gene and Jim in 2008 to then splitting duties on TV full time and now having the incredible responsibility of now doing TV full time. It's a dream come true. I appreciate everyone that's done everything and allowed me to have these opportunities over the years. It's special, and I'm looking forward to the season.
Well, again, you know, Craig, you bring a level of passion and enthusiasm and insight to your position that, you know, you don't find sometimes in other broadcasts. You know, I will say I've watched my fair share of other broadcasts. And when I get to think, you know, Craig Ackerman is the broadcaster that covers the team that I cover, the team that I grew up loving and cherishing, I'm like, this is a match made in heaven. It's amazing. I'm excited for this season because of it. And I got to ask you, you know, We've got you now full-time TV, but we've got another new face of the broadcast team in Ryan Hollins, who was recently on our show. And thank you
for having him on. That was a really good episode last week. Really awesome.
Oh, well, thank you for that. I wanted to, you know, pick your brain. How's it been working with Ryan? How's that relationship going? I noticed that the studio wanted to bait, you know, you go from Matt Bullard. They gave you another 7-footer, basically. They gave you another tall guy.
He's actually a little bit taller than Matt.
Just
slightly
a little
taller
bit, right?
than Matt. So I'm even shorter now.
They didn't want you to feel too out of your comfort zone. They were like, we got to get another big guy in the booth next to him, right?
He's been terrific. Really, really great guy. You know, like this is a work in progress. He and I have only worked with each other three times now in three different sort of settings. The preseason opener is always every first home game or every first broadcast of every season is always just pure chaos behind the scenes, especially when it's at home, because the crew is working out the kinks. We're working out the kinks, trying to shake off the rust. It's been a long time since I had done a game. You're working out the kinks with the equipment and so on and so forth. And again, that was the first time that he and I had worked together. So it's always that kind of pure chaos there. Then we went into the stream for the game in Toronto. So that was a sort of a different situation than working out of the studio in San Antonio. the other night. So we've worked three times now in three different settings. I'm looking forward to the regular season starting on Wednesday against Minnesota. We can kind of settle into a rhythm. And look, I'll be honest, from my personal experience with these kinds of things, when I first took over doing radio full time, and then when I started splitting duties on radio and TV six seasons ago, it takes a couple of months to kind of get your feet wet and get comfortable and used to doing new things. And so I think, again, to this point, I think things have gone very well. I'm looking forward again to settling into a rhythm and a routine with Ryan. And I think as we move along, he'll get more comfortable with me. I'll get more comfortable with him. People will get more comfortable with us. And it can only get better.
It's just like the product on the court, right? You guys have to develop chemistry and reps together. And the only way to do that is to actually get those live game reps. And so far,
right, there's no way to duplicate this, right? I mean, you can't, you know, I will say during the interview process with the new analyst candidates, we did do a demo broadcast. But there's no way you can duplicate games in real time, much like the players, right? I mean, they can simulate things in practice, but nothing sort of, you can't simulate actual game speed, if you will. I don't know if there's such a thing in the broadcasting world, but there's no substitute for it. You just have to go out there and do it and then gain the chemistry and experience as you go along.
And we're excited to be here along for the ride. It's going to be a fun season. And, you know, speaking of that, I mean, we've had four preseason games now for this young Rockets core. And I want to know, just, you know, right off the bat, primary takeaway, we're going to dive into some specifics here in just a moment, but what stands out to you about this team after four preseason games?
You know, it's about the process. I know that's cliche now because everything with the Sixers, but with this team now where it is at the foundation level of a rebuild. Last year was a transitional season, a season that went basically anything that could go wrong did go wrong last year. I think we sort of saw the very beginnings of the rebuild midway through the season when there was a lot of injuries to the veterans, and then Steven Silas basically, whether he wanted to or not, had to commit to all the young players. And so I think we saw some of this beginning in the second half of last season, but now this is truly where the organization is at the foundation level of a rebuild. So it is about the process. It's about seeing guys develop both individually and collectively with their teammates. And I think that's what we saw in the preseason. I think we saw flashes of why some of these young players are as talented as they are. And I think we also saw some flashes of there's going to be quite a few bumps in the road this season, and that's sort of to be expected. But I think we've seen flashes from Jalen Green, super talented young guy, Kevin Porter Jr. Şengün has been terrific. He was terrific in camp. I think he impressed in the preseason as well. And again, I'm just looking forward to being a part of watching this product grow from the ground floor. And the analogy that I use is if you go back 6 or 7 years ago, when the Astros began their rebuild in earnest, they went through three consecutive seasons where they lost 100 games. But the players that were part of that, like Jose Altuve and then eventually Correa and Bregman and so forth, they became the foundation of what is one of the elite teams now in Major League Baseball. And I think what makes the Astros so popular here in Houston and amongst Astros fans is that those core group of players have come up through the system, have come up through the rebuilding process with the Astros. And
all homegrown talent.
Right. And so people are very attached to them because of that. There's an emotional attachment to those players now. I think where Rockets fans can begin that process now, begin the emotional attachment, they can grow as the players grow. And I think that can be very exciting, even though this team's probably not going to win a ton of games this season. I think that's what you and me and people should be sort of paying attention to, is watching them grow and then being a part of that. And then eventually, hopefully, if they get past that, right, and they do mature and they do get better and they do become elite players like those guys with the Astros, then I think the emotional attachment with this group can be very similar. And then the passion will ultimately also grow with this team.
Coming up, want to dive into some specifics on the backcourt of the future in Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green, and we're going to get there after a quick message from our friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Prize Picks has the best NBA DFS prop game on the market. They offer more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator and offers all the superstar players as well as bench players only recording a handful of minutes each game. Everybody that uses Prize Picks, you just deposit, use your promo code NBA. So again, that's promo code NBA, super simple, NBA, right? Receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Pick 2 to 5 players and an over-under for their projections and you can win up to 10 times back on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected number. So don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com and use promo code NBA or go to your app store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Another message from our friends over at DirecTV, because look, does this sound familiar? You got one device that lets you catch the game, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, and you're watching sports highlights on your phone, scrolling through the timeline, right? And then you got your neighbor's best friend's login for all the other good stuff. Let me tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment that you love without the hassle. A great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream. It brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no more need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball with the voice of your Houston Rockets, Craig Ackerman. Now, Craig, we've got a small sample size now of KPJ, Jalen Green sharing the backcourt together. And there's been some ups and downs, you know, to be honest, which is to be expected with a young backcourt. But there's clearly, you've seen some of the flashes. There's dynamite level talent there. What have you thought about that pairing so far?
It's going to be a bit of a work in progress. Look, I think we've seen enough from Kevin Porter Jr., particularly last year, that he can be a very dynamic talent. There's no question about it. But I think as the season goes along, they're going to have to understand when their particular roles sort of moving forward. Those will get more defined as things go along, when it's time for Kevin to do his thing, when it's time for Jalen to do his. Obviously, and I've mentioned this on at least one of the telecasts that we've done so far, the organization, the coaches are asking a lot of Kevin Porter Jr. this season. They want him to be the guy who gets everybody else going. And so as he continues to learn that position as well and his new teammates, there's going to be a little bit of a feeling out process. Like, should he try to get his early? Should he try to set the table for his teammates early and then try to look to score a little bit as the game progresses or as the situation, evolves? And honestly, the same thing for Christian Wood, as he's now being paired with, you know, we saw Daniel Tice and then Alperen Şengün in that game in San Antonio. What's his role going to be like in conjunction with Jalen and Kevin, sort of filling out their particular roles? So I think that's something that's going to continue to evolve. It's going to be a dynamic situation as the season progresses, and that's probably what the first month of the season, a lot of that is going to be about, defining roles, figuring out who needs to get their shots when, and then all those guys, again, developing that kind of chemistry with one another. But we saw Kevin in the game against Washington. He was the best player on the floor. I certainly think he's capable of that moving forward. But again, it's just about sort of feeling one another out. And obviously the coaches also sort of feeling out that process as well. Who needs to be substituted where, how rotations are going to settle in. So there's still a lot of moving parts to this right now.
I think one of the most interesting things for me, Craig, moving forward is, right, and there's a part of me that hates drawing these comparisons, and there's a part of me that loves drawing them because they're so apt, is the comparisons between how James Harden would approach the game to how Kevin Porter Jr. can kind of approach the game as both somebody who has elite level scoring talent, but also has that playmaking and vision. And you talk about that ability to kind of, you know, shift between the two roles, kind of finding that balance. And Steven Silas spoke on this after the San Antonio Spurs preseason game, saying that Kevin Porter Jr. is still learning the position, trying to find that balance. And I think that's going to be the most interesting thing for me and his development moving forward is seeing, okay, does he eventually find that ability to flip that switch where, okay, how many times have we seen James Harden kind of probing a game early, really focusing on getting his teammates involved. And then, you know, third quarter rolls along. He just decides, you know what? I'm just going to score the ball now. I'm just going to turn on, you know, the scoring overdrive, go into, you know, supernova mode and take over the game. And I think we've seen little flashes of that from KPJ where maybe he's over facilitating at times, trying to really get others involved. And then he decides, no, you know what? I just need to turn it on and try and score the ball. And I really felt like we saw that in the Spurs game a little bit, where he kind of turned it on that tail end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth, where he was facilitating. And then he decided, you know what? I'm going to go get my own buckets for a little bit. And I think that's going to be my most interesting development for him moving forward.
Yeah. You got to find out who he is as a player. I mean, this is what this season is about. I think the two most important things for the Rockets are this season are, and obviously they're both super young, Jalen even more so, but it's like, who exactly are they as players? What ultimately can their ceilings be? And again, Kevin's working with a new set of teammates now, what appears to be a little bit of a different system in terms of what they want to do on the floor and their execution and so forth. So yeah, it's gonna be a work in progress. What I have seen is that in the games here in the preseason where he has started off slowly, he's been much better in the second half. Same thing could be said for Jalen Green. It looked like somebody got into his ear at halftime of the San Antonio game, talking about Jalen Green here, and said, "Hey man, you got to be more aggressive, attacking the rim." And he was significantly better in the third quarter than he was in the first half. So again, this is sort of about the give and take, the learning process for those guys, again, individually with each other, and then in conjunction with what the coaching staff ultimately wants to see from them. And so there will be, I think, as a result, especially early in the season, there probably will be quite a few ups and downs as we go along.
Yeah, that third quarter from Jalen Green, it felt worlds different from the first half. And it was the exact type of aggressive scorer's mentality that, you know, we'd been kind of hoping to see out of him. Not that he's been, you know, I think maybe the defenses from both Miami and Toronto maybe, you know, took him by surprise a little bit, how aggressive they were. Yeah. The Rockets were kind of playing on their heels for a lot of those games. And then he really came out and, you know, Steven Silas at one point was talking about needing to punch first. And even though the Rockets didn't quite punch first in the Spurs game, they had a good counterpunch in that third quarter, especially from Jalen Green, just a good response to how that first half went. But as far as KPJ and Jalen Green go, Craig, I think those two guys are very clear cut in the running for a couple of awards this season. KPJ potentially in the running, going to be in the running, I think, for most improved, being given the keys to the offense. His numbers are probably going to balloon even more so than they did last season. And then Jalen Green is hopefully going to be in the running for rookie of the year. What's your gut telling you about their chances at either of those two awards?
I mean, I think they have very good chances. There's no question about it. You know, the comparison, I think, especially since the Rockets are about to play Minnesota in the season opener, is you look at the season that Anthony Edwards, you know, had last season. Obviously a lot of expectations on someone who was the number one overall draft pick. First half of the season for him certainly had his moments, but by those expectations, he struggled with his efficiency. He struggled with his consistency. And then in the second half of the year, Anthony Edwards was a completely different player than he was in the first half of the season. And oh, by the way, I think if Minnesota can stay healthy, that's a big if. And if they can find at least a way to be league average defensively, they're going to score a ton of points this year. They might sneak up on some people. They have a talented roster, but I think
is Minnesota your dark horse to sneak into the play-in on the Western side? Because somebody's going to fall out of the play-in, I think, this season. I've kind of pegged the Spurs as being the team that are probably going to fade a little bit, even though it's not smart to bet against Greg Popovich. It never is.
I honestly don't think the Spurs are going to be in the play-in. I mean, well, you're talking about 10 teams. So there are going to be quite a few teams who are going to be within striking distance of the play-in. But I think Minnesota's got a chance to outright, again, I think if they can stay healthy and find a way to at least defend it at league average to battle for, say, a 7 or 8 seed in the West. I mean, I think they certainly have a talented roster. Talent is obviously talented. I mentioned Edwards. You know, I think Jaden McDaniels is going to be a pretty good player. in the league. Malik Beasley, has been terrific with them when he's been on the floor and in parts of the last couple of seasons. So I think they're going to score a lot. I mean, I think they're going to score a ton of points, whether or not, again, they can stay healthy and find some sort of relative consistency on the defensive end. But again, back to my other analogy is I think if you're following Jalen in the preseason and he's been rather inefficient with his scoring, and I think that's going to be the case to start the season for sure, as he kind of gets used to the speed and the level of competition and the defenses, the schemes they're throwing at him to try to slow him down. But again, Edwards last year, inefficient, slow start to the season, was a completely different player in the second half of the year. It sort of just really blossomed in the second half of the season. So I think if for some reason, if Jalen gets off to an inefficient scoring start to begin the year, I think that's one comparison that you can draw to him. And obviously Edwards ended up losing out the rookie of the year to LaMelo Ball, who was spectacular last season for Charlotte. But I think Jalen certainly has a shot at that award. If Kevin can pick up where he left off in the second half of last year, he absolutely is going to be in the conversation for the league's most improved, because he did look comfortable running the point last season with the players that he was playing with. And again, this is a different group, so it's going to take a little bit of time for him to develop a comfort level, as we've been discussing. But again, I think those two guys will absolutely be in the conversations for those respective awards.
Coming up, I want to talk a little bit about Christian Wood, as well as some of the other names on this Rockets roster. And we're going to get there after a quick message from our friends over at Built Bar. Protein bars. You either love them or you hate them. It's time to start loving protein bars. And you can do that with Built Bar. They've got so many amazing flavors to offer you. Coconut, raspberry, mint chocolate brownie, strawberry, cookies and cream. You cannot go wrong with any of the flavors on their menu. My personal favorite, coconut brownie chunk. It is so good. Every single bar, low cal, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Great if you're on a keto diet. Great if you're trying to lose weight. And you can check them out. Just visit built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order of great tasting protein bars. Again, that's built.com. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your very next order. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Now, I'd be remiss if we didn't talk at least a little bit about Christian Wood, Craig, because it feels like, and he's been on record as saying this to, you know, multiple times over the offseason and to different reporters and, you know, to Kelly Eco of The Athletic, Jonathan Fagan. He's told us, you know, Rockets training camp that his expectations for this season, he wants to be, you know, have the ball in his hands a bit more, play a little bit different stylistically to how he played last season. And I'm still on the fence about whether or not that's a good thing for this team, because he found so much success last season as, you know, not exclusively a rim runner / pick and popping big, but he does the rim running role so well and so efficiently, especially when you give him an adequate ball handler, somebody who can create for him like a Kevin Porter Jr. or hopefully down the line like Jalen Green will be able to. We've even seen Jalen Green with some nice, you know, dish off passes to Christian Wood, setting him up pretty nicely on certain feeds. So my thing is, you know, if Christian Wood is going to play stylistically different this season, is it a good thing or is it a bad thing in your mind?
Honestly, I don't know. We're going to have to find out. Look, obviously he put up all-star type numbers last year, 20-10, and was spectacular. He wants to shoot 40% from three this year, which would be incredible. He's what, shot 37?
Sign me up. I'll take it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take that. But he's obviously a very talented player, can score from all levels, has the ability to put the ball on the floor and attack closeouts, as you mentioned. Very good in terms of a pick and roll finisher at the rim. He's a very unique talent, but I think that process, along with finding spots for Jalen and Kevin in particular, and we really haven't even talked about Eric Gordon and his role with this team, because obviously this is a group that looks as of right now that, once again, generally speaking, they're going to struggle shooting threes. So they're going to need Eric Gordon to help space the floor, although Eric's three-point efficiency over the last couple of years hasn't been all that great either. But they're going to need him to be out there on the floor to give them the floor spacing that they need, so Christian Wood can create for himself and others. And driving lanes will be open for Kevin Porter and Jalen Green, who both will be spectacular if they do have open driving lanes attacking opposing defense. So I really I don't know. Obviously, I think they want to protect him somewhat defensively with Daniel Theis. I thought he and Kelly Olynyk in the limited amount of time that they played with each other last year looked like they had developed some pretty good chemistry, but Theis is a different player than Olynyk is. And so that's again, a work in progress. So again, long story short, I don't know. We're going to have to find out. My guess is that the coaches are looking to find that out as well. And this is the kind of season where the burden of winning isn't necessarily there. Obviously, everybody wants to see the team win, because when you win, everybody feels good about themselves. And when you win, you don't necessarily develop the bad habits that you do when you consistently lose. But the burden of winning isn't there this year. So they do have the luxury of experimenting with things. And then outside, as I mentioned, of finding out who exactly is Jalen Green, who exactly is Kevin Porter Jr., ultimately finding out exactly who Christian Wood is this season is very important. So if they want to experiment with him playing a little bit differently and he wants to do it as well, we'll see if it works. If it does, great. If it doesn't, perhaps maybe they can always fall back on some of the more traditional stuff that we saw from him last season.
Who on this roster, you know, as we've gone through these four preseason games and headed into the regular season, do you think is maybe a bit underrated at this point, or maybe just hasn't been spoken about quite enough? Because, you know, I was asked this question the other day, and, you know, I couldn't say Alper and Şengün, because I think Şengün might be even a bit overrated right now by Rockets fans. He's been playing out of his mind. So who in your mind deserves to be highlighted a little bit?
In terms of being underrated or just and
Maybe not necessarily in terms of being underrated, but maybe just somebody who hasn't you haven't seen enough of a spotlight being shown on what they've accomplished so far.
And in this particular preseason, well, Eric's only played a marginal amount and then had the sore ankle and missed the last three. I mean, I think he's a very important key to the team. Like, we all know who Eric Gordon is, a player, right? I mean, been there, done that. Really good NBA player. Obviously, he's taking this game to another level in the playoffs. But I think how much is Eric, you know, going to play this year? How healthy is Eric going to be this season? Are very important. As I mentioned, I think his ability to space the floor is going to be very important, because I'm not sure this team, at least to start, is going to get a whole lot of consistent three-point shooting. So they're going to need him. So what kind of role is Eric going to play? You know, how much of a role is KJ Martin going to play? Obviously, second half of last year, he was terrific and got better with more playing time. And especially when he was starting at the end of the year, showed the ability to facilitate, knock down some threes. Obviously, his athleticism is off the charts. What is his role going to be with this group moving forward? I thought DJ Augustine was very solid last year. I mean, he's a pro's pro, been there, done that. Is he going to be a bit of a calming influence running the second team offense? Can he also, if he's paired with, say, you know, he's paired with Jalen Green, can, you know, what kind of shots can he develop for him moving forward? So ultimately, what's the rotation going to be like? Is Steven Silas going to play? Are they committed to playing? It looks like there's probably 10 guys who are in their rotation right now. At times, I think that can be tough because this is a rhythm game. Consistently playing 10 guys in an NBA rotation, it's been done and it's been done well before in the past, but I think more times than not, rotations typically don't get to 10, because if you're taking minutes away from one guy and giving him it to another, then perhaps maybe you're disrupting the rhythm of the players that you want to see more. So I think the rotation will probably be a bit fluid this season. What kind of role does Armani Brooks going to have with this team? Again, I go back to the point where they're going to need some guys to knock down some threes. Is he going to play enough to stay in rhythm to do that? So again, there are a lot of moving parts.
So many moving parts. I'm really glad you brought up, you know, Eric Gordon as, you know, what type of role is he going to have as like the veteran leader on this team?
Is he going to start? Is he going to come off the bench?
Yeah.
We don't know yet. No, Jayshon Tate, what's his role ultimately going to be? Can you have, and I really like Tate, can you have Tate on the floor with potentially three other guys who are shooting below league average from three, because Tate's a below, at least at this point, a below average three-point shooter in the league. Christian Wood, based on his performance last season, is the only above average three-point shooter in that group. Can you have Tate on the floor with that group? It looked like from the first preseason game that they felt like it was more important to have Eric Gordon in that role and then Tate coming off the bench. If that's the case, where does Tate's going to have to settle into a rhythm in a new role as well? He's not going to rock the boat in any fashion, but again, these are things that we're going to have to kind of see how they go at this for the first month or so of the season.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of stuff in flux, unfortunately, and due to Eric's, you know, minor ankle injury, you know, him having to be sidelined for the rest of preseason, and then Steven Silas almost being forced to then have a revolving door of who he's going to run at the three spot. First, it was Daniel House Jr., then Daniel House Jr. missing some time for personal reasons. Jay Sean Tate gets the starting nod in the final two games. So it'll be interesting to see who the actual starting three is come opening night. But, you know, as we're sitting here, Craig, and I think the answer might be kind of obvious, but I think the second part of this question is where I'm very interested in your thinking is, you know, who do you see as the Rockets' best player right now? And do you think that title might actually belong to somebody else by season's end?
Well, I think the team certainly looks at Eric Gordon as their best player right now. Again, a veteran who's been there, done that. And I think based on his league history, he is the team's best player. I think right behind him in that would probably be Christian Wood. I guess if you could argue maybe Kevin Porter just ahead of Christian Wood, but I think what he did last year in the 40 some odd games that he appeared in, and then what the team ultimately looked like when he wasn't there, I would probably put him as number two. There's nobody else on this roster who can do what he can do. I mean, especially at his size, there's just nobody else on this team. I think Kevin Porter Jr. is probably number three at season's end. I think of those three guys that I mentioned, the one player who might end up being the best of the group by season's end would be Kevin Porter Jr. I mean, I think his ceiling in terms of his talent is extremely high. Again, I think he's probably the, Eric has had a 50-point game for the Rockets, but I think Kevin Porter Jr. could probably
against Utah too.
He did, I think back at that game. You go to that game, and Harden didn't play, Westbrook didn't play,
Capella didn't play either.
Huh?
All the big three was out. Right. Everybody wrote it off as a loss.
and the Jazz were rolling at that point, and to go into Salt Lake City, and was it on the second night of a back-to-back? It was something like that, or maybe it was a trip. Maybe it was a trip from Denver. When you move between those two cities in the league, or you move from West Coast, you know what the hardest back-to-back in the league is? West Coast into the Mountain Time Zone, whether Utah or Denver, because you're dealing with – you lose an hour, and you are dealing with altitude. That's somebody has kept track of teams' records in recent seasons.
It was Denver to Utah, by the way. It was Denver first, was the first night of the back-to-back, and then Utah was the second night.
That's a very difficult back-to-back situation. We're going from altitude to altitude in the Mountain Time Zone. The worst is, again, West Coast into either Salt Lake City or Denver on the second night of a back-to-back. But yeah, that Eric was just absolutely sensational. But I think Kevin Porter Jr., I'm very bullish on his incredible talent. And I think ultimately the second part of that question is, I think he's got the best chance to be the best player of that trio at season's end.
I love that. I mean, I think I'm right there in agreement with you. His potential is through the roof, and watching him, you know, really have a chance to sink his teeth into being, you know, the de facto point guard this season. Obviously the situation with John Wall has been kind of nebulous, but with where things have panned out as far as that is concerned, there's no more concern of, okay, is you know, he's sharing the ball with John Wall tonight. Is he the point guard tonight? Is Wall sitting out? That's not a question anymore. It's he's got the keys to the offense. It's all him. And I think we're going to be able to see him really run with it this season. Now, I've got one more question for you, Craig. We've got the Vegas win total for the Houston Rockets at 25 and a half games. Are you taking the over or the under on that?
As a team employee here, I am not going anywhere near. I am not going anywhere near the win totals this season.
Right. Okay.
What I will say is that the expectation, obviously, for this team this season, with where they are, how inexperienced many of the players are, how young they are, as a fan, as an observer, my expectations for this season is I'm not expecting a ton of wins from this group. And frankly, I don't think that that's the way that this season should be looked at. Now, if they exceed those expectations, so be it. I'll be the first one doing cartwheels because of it. But it's about the growth and development of these players. It's not about where this team is on opening night, a month from now, at season's end. It's about where this team basically is a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road. That's the window for this group. That's the lens that I think this season should be looked through. Again, if Kevin Porter Jr. is the best player on this team in April, and the team has won 25 games or 30 games, it's not about the win total. It's about who is Kevin Porter Jr.? What's his ceiling? Can he be the best player on a contending team? Is his ceiling the second best player, third best player? And likewise with Christian Wood. And then where is Jalen Green? Where has his development come from what we saw from him at the start of the season? Is he growing? Is he taking steps? Is he getting better defensively? Is he getting stronger? Is he picking his spots? Is he becoming a better and more consistent three-point shooter? What is his decision-making like? Because we saw times here in the preseason, he got quite a bit turnover prone. Has his decision-making improved? And so to me, that's what this season is about. Getting hung up on the wins and losses this year, I think is, I don't have any money on it, obviously, for me personally, is not where it's at. It's where are these players individually and where are they collectively from day one through the end of the season? And if they're making progress and they're getting better, then that's what ultimately this season is about. Because if the wins don't come, they're going to get another really high draft pick, and the Rockets are going to end up having another really talented young player added to what is already a pretty talented and a very talented young core. And so it's about building. It's about developing. And if they win, great. If they don't, it's about watching the incremental progress of these players in this group. And if they are getting better, then I think I'll take great satisfaction out of this team and out of this season.
Couldn't agree with you more, Craig. I teed you up terribly with that question.
It's okay. No worries.
It for me. So thank you so much. For that.
You know what? Can I tell you my thoughts on gambling?
Yeah, go for it.
I love winning money. I cannot stand losing it. Like I get physically ill losing money. So I just don't do it. I can't take the risk, man. That the thought of winning money is great, but man, it kills me to lose. Like if I lose $5 in the slot machine, man, call me cheap. I don't care. It's hard for me to sleep.
All right. So I will not be sending you to our friends over at betonline.ag. A gambler, go check out betonline.ag. No, Greg, any final words for Rockets fans before we wrap this one up?
You know what? Look, I appreciate everybody's support. I'm very, very excited, honored, humbled to be in my new role doing this. Look, Bill Worrell is an absolute legend. I have huge shoes to fill. He, much like Gene Peterson and Jim Foley, have been incredible mentors to me over the years, and his support has meant a lot. And so, again, I'm very excited about this new opportunity. It's something I've been working towards for a very, very long time. And I'm excited about, the start of the season. As I mentioned earlier, this is the ground floor. This is going to be, I think, again, if you get caught up on the wins and losses this year, then you're going to have a lot of stress this season. But I think this is a unique situation where this will be a relatively stress-free season for all of us, right? Because the expectations, again, they're not necessarily there. If they exceed them, then it's incredible, right? Then this team will be way ahead of schedule. If the wins don't come, but players are getting better, then you can take a lot of satisfaction with that. So again, I'm excited about having an opportunity to call every game this year, because that's been a rarity on television in recent seasons, because a lot of these games have been picked up by ESPN and TNT. So I'm excited to have an opportunity to do that every game this season. But I really want to see these young guys grow. I'm very bullish, much like the front office and the coaches are, of the young talent on this team. I think Jalen Green's ceiling is incredibly high, as is Kevin Porter Jr. Christian Wood is such a unique talent. I think Jayshon Tate is a very unique player as well. KJ Martin showed what he can do last season. Shingun has been incredible so far. I think he has exceeded expectations. I'm looking to watch Josh Christopher grow. I think he's someone who I will admit was surprised. He was taken when he was taken. I was not expecting him to go at that point, but I think he has shown that he has the baseline, the talent level to be a good NBA player moving forward. So I'm looking forward to watching him grow. Perhaps maybe he'll start in the G League and then second half of the season maybe blossom, much like KJ Martin did last year. So I think there's a lot of things to look forward to and be excited about. And day one is almost upon us. The preseason's behind us, and I'm always excited to work. So I'm ready to go.
Same here, Craig. Same here. And I will be looking forward to hearing you on opening night calling the game against the Timberwolves.
All right. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure to have you on the show, Craig. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
All right, that's going to do it for today's episode. As always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. We hope to have you back very, very soon right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.